We'll take up Senate Bill number 1. Senator Madden, welcome to Commerce.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. If it's okay, I have a page passing out some information that is on genetic testing.
We need all the help we can get, Senator.
Thank you. I see a lot of new faces. I'm Senator Cheryl Madden, and I was in the House for 6 years, and now I'm over in the Senate. This is my third year, and it's nice to be back. This is the fun place to be. Anyway, you have before you Senate Bill 1, and Senate Bill 1 and 2 are both on genetic testing. So I'm going to give you all my information on genetic testing just once. I won't repeat the information on Senate Bill 2, even though it's very interesting.
Thank you very much.
And what I passed out to you is articles out of the National Conference of State Legislators information, and also the Newsweek magazine. It's just so interesting that I wanted to share it with you. Okay, Senate Bill 1 is an act to require written consent before genetic testing. And Section 1 is just a definition of the terms. But the definition that you need to pay attention to in these definitions is number 3. Predictive genetic test. That's a genetic test performed for the purpose of predicting the future probability that the person tested will develop a genetically related disease or disability. Remember that definition. It's a test to test the future probability that the person tested will develop a genetically related disease or disability. And then the meat of the bill is in Section 2, which says no person may order or perform a predictive genetic test without first obtaining the written informed consent. And that is pretty much the whole bill. Now, I'm going to go into why we need all this, why we need this legislation. Genetic information can predict risk for diseases that pose considerable expense for insurers and employees. Concern exists that insurers will refuse to underwrite or terminate coverage for individuals with certain genetic conditions, and employers will use genetic information to hire, promote, or fire employers. The Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, also referred to or known as HIPAA, you've probably heard of that. It became the first federal law to directly address genetic information, and the law prohibits health insurance discrimination based on any health status-related factor, including genetic information. But this is for group health plans, usually those with 50 or more individuals. And South Dakota, being a rural state, we have, you know, most of our employers have fewer than 50 people. And so many states have acted to fill the gaps left by HIPAA. New Jersey, in 1996, enacted the first comprehensive workplace in anti-discrimination law based on genetic information. And with Michigan joining the group this year, employment discrimination based on genetic information is unlawful in 21 states. Genetic information, or genetic coding and all this testing, is really mind-boggling when you start studying it. I was totally uninformed until I served on this Judiciary Summer Study, which Senate Bills 1 and 2 came out of the interim's Judiciary Study. And there's a lot of good to genetic testing. Scientists have identified more than 8,000 human genes, including those linked to breast and colon cancers and Alzheimer's disease. Figuring out how the genes work promises to lead to preventions and treatments. Each human cell contains DNA organized into 23 pairs of chromosomes. Every chromosome has hundreds to thousands of codes for building proteins. Now, with this in your information, you'll see that with these different bars of testing, they can find out if you're going to get prostate cancer, Alzheimer's disease, colon cancer, Parkinson's disease, breast cancer, pancreatic cancer, kidney disease, mental retardation, epilepsy, diabetes, cystic fibrosis, leukemia, and I'm just naming the ones that I can pronounce. There's a lot of, there's, you know, hundreds of different diseases they can tell if you're going to get it. So that's exciting because you can, you know, to know what you're going to have. This doctor, a Dr. Bert Vogelstein, he's an oncologist at Johns Hopkins and the Howard Hughes Medical Institute. He was telling that newer tests can help people from cancer-prone families determine whether they've inherited the mutation. He says, my mother died of colon cancer at age 47. If we'd known she was genetically at risk, we could have screened for the disease and caught it early. Early detection is just the beginning. Genes help determine not only whether we get sick, but also how we respond to various treatments. Now, that's the good side of genetic testing, to see what lies in your future, to, you know, get preventative help and so on and so forth. But there's also a bad side of genetic testing. And I'm going to read some cases. Actually, there's actual cases of where people been fired or lost their insurance. From the inception of the Genome Project, people warned that genetic knowledge would be used against people in insurance and employment. Sorting out whether this is happening is like judging whether HMOs provide quality care. Systematic surveys turn up few problems, but horror stories abound. One man underwent a genetic test and learned that he carried a marker for the blood disorder hemochromatosis. I think that's how you pronounce it. Although he was being successfully treated, his insurer dropped him on the ground that he might stop treatment and develop the disease. Another had a job offer withdrawn for lying during a pre-employment physical. He was healthy but carried a gene for kidney disease. And last December, Terry Sargent, 43, was fired from her job as an office manager after she tested positive for the genetic disease that killed her brother. She began receiving preventative treatments. When her self-insured employer got the first bill, she was fired. Now, please remember, members of the committee, that an employer requesting, say, a urine specimen to check for a blood or for drugs, fine. I have no problem with that. Or if your employer wants to check your criminal background, or to see if you're on the convicted sex registry. That's fine. But when they use your genetic test, remember, you cannot help what your genetic tests say. That's not your fault. Just like you can't discriminate against me because I'm a woman or because of my color. Please don't let employers or insurance agencies discriminate against me because of my genes. I can't help them. They're not my fault. So anyway, another doctor was telling that he said it may take the next 100 years to completely understand all the data his company is generating this year. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just the tip of the iceberg with genetic testing. What they're doing now, they won't really know or appreciate what all the complications or whatever benefits are going to be for another 100 years. So we have to get some laws in place now to protect people. By the way, Senate bill came out of Judiciary Committee 7-0, and it came off the floor of the Senate 33 yes and 2 excused. And so I hope you please will pass Senate Bill 1 to require a written informed consent so people know what they're getting into when they have their ask for genetic testing. And I'd be happy to answer any questions of the committee.
Thank you, Senator. We'll hold the questions until after all the proponents have testified.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
If you could stay with us.
You bet. I sure will.
Are there any other proponents? Senate Bill 1. Any proponents? I guess this questioning period starts right now, Senator. Any questions amongst the committee? Representative Broderick.
Senator Madden.
Yes, Representative Broderick.
If a person signs a form and authorizes this testing and is found to have a disease that an insurance company finds a undesirable risk, may that insurance company turn that person down?
Right now, yes. Yes, yes, that...
And your bill would not, if I might follow up...
Oh, I'm sorry, I should have came to this chair. I apologize, Mr. Chair.
Right, all right.
Does this bill do anything about that?
Yeah. Thank you. No, this bill doesn't, but when we get to Senate Bill 2, that will.
Thank you.
This, if I may, Mr. Chair, this just asks for written consent, and then you get a copy of your written consent, and it's like signing a disclaimer, or not a disclaimer, but when you have certain procedures done at the hospital or at a doctor's office, it's just normal procedure for a lot of tests. If there's any... There could be any side effects or anything that you sign a written consent. I know I have done that numerous times. And you read it first. And this, you read these, this is the standard list, and you read that. So then you are somewhat informed about the test you're taking.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any other questions? Hearing none. Thank you, Senator. Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 1? Opponents to Senate Bill 1. My goodness, we have a easy bill here, it appears. If not, we'll close the public testimony and take discussion and or action on Senate Bill 1.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Brown.
I attended the summer study on this subject, and I was completely shocked at the possibility of gene testing and what it will do in the future. It's still in its infancy as far as what will be found in the gene, and it is important for us to protect those who are having this gene checked. One of the things I think in this bill that is important is on page 2, lines 16 to 19, when you when you sign off allowing to take the test, there has to be a information given to you as who will get the information obtained from this, and to confide in the patient the confidential treatment of the sample that is taken. So it's a protective implement for patients taking the gene test. And I certainly support the adoption of Senate Bill 1. And do move a do pass motion on Senate Bill 1.
Do pass motion by Representative Brown and seconded by Representative Misselhoff. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do intend to vote for the bill, but I make one observation, and it's along the lines of what Representative Broderick, I think, is thinking. I have two children. They're 9 and 7 now, but to go to school, they had to have their inoculations. And every time they went to get their shots, there was a little form saying, you know, 1 in 1,000,000 people die. You need to know that. 1 in 1,000,000 people get paralyzed or whatever. You need to know that. And so if you don't sign, you don't get the shot. But if you don't get the shots, you don't go to school. And what I think will happen is in the future, routinely as a condition of employment, the employer will say, we give these tests. You don't have to take them, but if you don't take them, you won't be employed. And so I see no problem with this particular bill, but I think as the practice has evolved in these other areas, it will evolve here as well.
Thank you, Representative. Any other questions? I read this over several times last night, and I tend to agree with you. I think we may be going a little far. I don't know. But based on the infancy of this particular industry, we're probably better off in this, where we're at today, with this bill, than with nothing. There's a do pass motion on the floor. Any further discussion? If not, the secretary will call the roll. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no.
Baca?
Aye.
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 Peterson?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Eleven. Vote, and that do pass, motion passes 11 to 0. Consent motion?
Second.
Seconded by Bogalka. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. I think in order to save time, it might be better to pull it, but I won't.